All right, so we'll say good morning. Today's daf is Ayin Dalit 74. We are going to pick off on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis. Again, incredible stories. I'm giving it to you with the caveat that we are... I'm not going to do these stories justice, as I've already said to you yesterday, but I'm going to give you hopefully a little bit snippets. And the good thing is you could always go back. And I want to be clear, when we finish the blot in Shir, does not mean you have to finish the blot. There's absolutely meaning, feel free to go back, right? And of course, and again, Yom Tov's coming, fold down these pages. These are beautiful pages. These are beautiful dapim to review every Yom Tov as well. This Agarata is rich with incredible and beautiful lessons, which again, I'm not doing justice to. So I'm putting the achrayas on you to really go back into the ayin a bit more. So let's begin. 73b, ayin beis, amud beis, six lines up from the bottom. The Amud Rabbi Arvachana. So we'll say Rabbi Arvachana is the major character. Not character, the major personality that we are dealing with over here. Rabbi Arvachana said the following. One time I was walking in the desert and we were accompanied by an Arab. Taya means like an Arab merchant. That wherever we went, the Arab would pick up the dirt and he would smell the dirt. Through smelling the dirt, he was able to see where exactly we were and able to tell us which direction to go in. Amrile, we asked him, tell us, how far are we from water? And he said, give me a handful of dirt, I'll smell it and I'll tell you how far you are from water. We gave it to him. He said, we're 8 parcels away. So a little while later we did this again. We're only 3 parcels away from water now. So Rabbi Arvachana said, I tried to trick him by giving him different dirt. And he was unable to go ahead, and we were unable to trick him. In other words, that this Arab really, he knew his malacha. Ultimately, again, about how from the smell of the dirt to be able to go ahead and determine which direction and how close to water. So as this Arab was leading us through the desert, he said to me, Ta'achli l'chamei se midbar. Azli chazazinu. So the Arab said to me, do you want to see the Jews who died in the desert? So what this is specifically referring to over here is the Dor HaMidbar, the Jews who died out in the desert as a result of the sin of the Meraglim. So the Arab merchant said to me, do you want to see their bodies? So what happens? So he took me, Azli chazazinu v'damu kiman demivsimi. So Rabbi Arachana said, I saw them. And they looked like they were intoxicated, which I will say bepashtos means that their bodies were preserved. In other words, they had a shining facial complexion, almost like when a person drinks, so they get a little red. So ultimately, again, they had almost like a healthy like complexion, which indicates that the bodies were preserved. Top of Ayin Dalit, the Ganu Aparkit, and they were asleep. They were lying down on their backs. So just point out over here. So the Yaros Dasha Bionas and Aibish, it says over here, what's the meaning that they were gonna apark it, that they were sleeping on their backs? First of all, I just want to point out to you, which again is not our topic for today, but dramatically enough, these sugyas, some of the halachos or some of the minhagim concerning burial practices, ultimately come from this particular Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, the Nosei Kelim, quote this Gemara specifically, again, the notion of burying a mace on its back, they bury the dead on their back. Ultimately, again, according to some, one of the sources is Gemara, which is quite dramatic that we're learning it out from Maisalach like this. In any event, Yaros Devash says that what does it mean that ultimately they were sleeping on their back? See, he says so beautifully. He says, L'rameis, Shechatam lo haya davar pashat shrat v'achar yachomer, elu sha'alu b'madrega yosim idai b'kalas nafshem al Hashem. That the sin of the Dor HaMidbar, Rabbi Osei, was really much more, not that they were rebelling against God, but ultimately, again, their sin was spiritually motivated. The Ritzit has this Yisod as well. Why did Klal Yisrael not want to go into Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Yonasan Aibishitz, the Netziv, all really highlight the same Yisod, which is that at the end of the day, they very much enjoyed the spiritual connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu they had in the Midbar. They enjoyed the Man, they enjoyed the Anan, they enjoyed the Eish, and they recognized that when they went to Eretz Yisrael, all of that would have to dramatically change. They did not want that change. They did not want that, what we'll call, normal lifestyle. They enjoyed that level of spiritual connection. Says Yarastach, that's the symbolism that they were lying on their backs, looking upwards, that their chait was actually a desire to remain closer and not have to transition into the normal framework of this world. What happens? So one of the bodies, right, the leg was bent, and the knee was extended. So says the Gemara, Va'ayil tayo tusei birchei, and the Arab merchant rode through underneath the knee of the mace, kirachiv gamla, while he was sitting on his camel, v'zakif erumchei, and ultimately his spear was extended up, v'lo nagabe, and ultimately again he didn't even touch the mace, representing ultimately again, literally, the incredible size of the bodies, that here again one mace has his leg bent, and the Arab on his camel with his spear extended is able to go under it without even touching the knee. Again, the Aras Tavash brings down, same as so, the metaphor is the greatness of these individuals. Although they sinned, and they sinned terribly, the level of ruchnius they were on is unparalleled. So the Gemara goes weiter. So Rav Achana says, I cut off the corner of the tzitzis, literally the corner of the tcheles of one of the bodies. And after I did that, our animals were unable to move. Now ultimately we will see one of the reasons why Rabbi Bar Chana cut off the corner of the tzitzis that Rashbam points out over here is to bring it back to the Beis Medrash and to try to decide who is right between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But there's a fundamental machlokas about tzitzis. Is tzitzis three bent over strings or four bent over strings? So Hillel says three, Beis Hillel says three, Beis Shammai says four. So Rabbi Bar Chana says, I have an incredible opportunity here. It's one of the situations where we pass on like Beis Shammai. I have an incredible opportunity here to bring back the corner of the tzitzis to the Beis Medrash, mamash from the midbar, and see who the halacha follows. But after he cut off the corner, the animals they were riding were unable to move. Amarli, so my Arab guide said to me, Dilma shakalis midi minayhu. Perhaps you took something off one of the corpses. Ahadre, you have to return it. Digimiri, because we know, demand the shakal midi minayhu lo mistagile. Because the Arab apparently, I will say, Rabbi Chana was not the first person to try to take something, right? So we know every time you try to take something, the Arab says, you know, I bring groups here all the time. And every time we try to take something, ultimately, again, the animals can't move. We'll say, the Yaros Devash again comments over here and says, because the Gzeira on the Dor HaMidbar was that what? They were to remain in the midbar. Nothing of theirs could be removed from the midbar. So every time you take something, you remain rooted in place. Azli Ad, just says Rabbi Chana says, I put back the tzitzis, v'adem istagivan. And ultimately, again, the animals were able to move forward. Kiyasa l'kamei drabanan. So when he came to the Beis Medrash, and I told him about everything that happened, and I told him, oh, I had the tzitzis, but I don't have the tzitzis. So the rabbis didn't have kind words to him. Amruli, they said to me, kol abba chamra. Every Abba, now also remember, Rabba Bar Bar Chana is actually Rabbi Abba. Rabba is a contraction for Rabbi Abba. They said, every Abba is like a donkey. The Chol Bar Bar Chana Sichsa, and every Bar Bar Chana is a fool. In other words, what they said to him is, you foolish man. Why did you take the tzitzis to begin with? Because you want to know, does Halacha follow Beis Shammai, or does the Halacha follow Beis Hillel? Is it four like Beis Shammai, meaning four bent over strings, which come out to eight on the bottom? Or is it three like Beis Hillel? So I don't understand. Okay, you don't need to take the tzitzis. What did you need to do? Just count the strings and count the knots. That's all we needed. And you lost out on this incredible opportunity. Amarle. So I'll say the Maaseh goes on. Ta'achvi l'cha har Sinai. So let's listen to this. So the Arab guide says to Rabbi Rachana, would you like to see har Sinai? So Rabbi Rachana says, sure. Azli chazoi dehadrali akriba v'kaima ki chamri chivarti. So they came to har Sinai. What did they say? So they saw that har Sinai was surrounded by scorpions that had the appearance of white donkeys. That had the appearance of white donkeys. So the Gemara says, Shamis Baskol, I heard a Baskol that said, Shomeres Oili Shenishbati. So woe to me that I have sworn. Va'achshav Shenishbati mi meferli. And now that I have sworn, who could annul my oath? We'll say, take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Shenishbati min agolos. Kidichsiv kray tov inavim. Ribbono Shel Olam is saying, woe to me that I have sworn that my children must be exiled. Woe to me that my children must be exiled. And because I, God, made a vow, I'm stuck. Who could annul this vow for me? I will say, just interestingly enough, why is it that the Ribbono Shel Olam? So again, we see the other Gemaras in Brachas like this as well. The Ribbono Shel Olam laments daily that he has had to exile us. Why Dafka is this Baskel coming from Har Sinai? Because we'll say, if you think about it, Har Sinai was the place of the greatest demonstration of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the makom of Na'aseh and Nishma. It's the place of blind faith. But it's not just blind faith and blind obedience. It's blind love. And therefore, again, it's at this makom where we professed our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Ribono Shel Olam laments, look what I've done. Look what I've done. And who could reverse this oath for me? So Rabbi Rabbi Rachana comes back to the Rabbanon. He tells them what he saw. Amrulei, they said to me, call Abba Chamra, call Bar Bar Chana Sichsan. Again, they didn't have the kindest words from you, fool. Havi Lecha Lomar, Mefar Lecha. You should have said, Ribono Shel Olam, I annul it for you. Right? I annul your vow. I, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, the halacha is that although you normally need a Beis Din, right? If you have a Yachid Mumcha, if you have an individual, again, who's an expert, that individual can be made for us. We should, Rabbi Chana, you should say, Ribono Shel Olam, right? Mutu Lecha, Mutu Lecha, Mutu Lecha. So the Gemara said, who suffer, right? Why didn't Rabbi Bar Chana do it? Because he thought, Dilma Shivu Asa de Mabulhu. He thought maybe it was the Shivu of the Mabul. He thought maybe, again, it was the oath, ultimately, again, the oath not to destroy the world, and therefore again, he thought maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu was lamenting his incredible displeasure with humanity, and he was looking for someone to be made for the nedra of not destroying the world. Rabbi Rachana said, I'm not going to do that. So the Gemara says, Im kein. So the Rabbanan said, that can't be oily lama. Why would the Rebbe Shalom use lashon of oily? Woe to me. Obviously the Rebbe Shalom was talking about his vow to go ahead and be gola klal Yisrael. Amrlei, ta'achli lecha b'loy dekorach. So he said to me, so now the Arab God is taking you, and I said, do you want to see those who were swallowed up in the rebellion of Korach? So Chazoy Trey Bizi Vahavu Kamafke Kutra. So we came to a place where there were two cracks in the earth, and from the two cracks were coming two pillars of smoke. Shakul Gavava Damra Vahamshina Bemaya. So what happens? My Arab guide took two tufts of wool, immersed it in water, udatsisa berosha de rumcha, and he went and he attached it to the tip of a spear, va'ayli hasam, and he put the two soaking tufts of wool into the cracks, v'chi apik, and when ultimately he took it out, have ichrich ichruchi, the wool was singed. So I obviously see how hot that was, if it singed soaking wet wool. Amarli, atzis. My shamis, my guide said to me, the Arab guide said to me, listen, tell me if you listen, what do you hear? V'shamis tava amrin Moshe v'sarasu emes v'hin badoin. And Moshe said, we kept hearing that what? So Rabbi Arab Achran said, we kept hearing voices from the cracks that said, Moshe's emes, his Torah's emes, and we are liars, or we are false. Amrali, the merchant said to me, kol tlasin yomin mahadu luhu gehenna mahacha. Every 30 days, ultimately, again, Gehenna circles here. Again, apparently, again, whatever this means. But Gehenna revolves. Kibasra bekalachas, like a pot that is being stirred. Va'amri hachi, and the voices of both say, this refers ultimately, again, to Korach's sons. The Rashbam points out that Korach's sons did tshuva, right, as they were being swallowed up. And as a result of their tshuva, they did not have to descend to the lowest depths of Gehenna, but rather, again, they occupy a higher level of Gehenna. But Gehenna, nevertheless, and every 30 days, says the guide, you could hear their voices emerging from Gehenna. He says, Va'amri hachi, and they always say the same thing, Moshe b'sarasu emes v'hein badoin. Moshe and his Torah are truth, and they hain, which means they, but a reference to them, are liars. Amarli, sa'achli l'cha hecha denashki ara v'rakia ahadadi. Next, the guide said to me, Rabbi Rachana says, would you like to see the place where heaven and earth kiss? Literally, where heaven and earth come together. So I'll say, so I'll tell you something very beautiful. So ahadri, so, well, let's read the mice and I'll tell you the meaning. So what happens? So, ahadri, shaklisu l'silsa, Anchasa bekavra derakia. So what happens? So take a look at the Rashban. The Rashban says, "Haicha denashki ara verakia, makom gavoa hayasham shenoshkin yachad zeloze." Velav hanu sofa olam. So again, he says it's a place where literally heaven and earth kiss each other. So what happens? Rabbi Rachana says, "Shaklisa l'silsay." He took his basket. Salechem shali. His bread basket. You know, you're not going to go on a. You know, Jews don't go on a trip without food. So what happens? So he has his basket with his bread. And chasa bikhavsa dirakia. He placed it in one of the windows of the rakia. So he's in this place where heaven and earth meet. And apparently, again, it's made up of a series of windows. He places his bread basket in one of the windows. Ad matzilna, then he went to Davin. So admatzilna ba'isi v'lo ashkechei. When he came back, he went to daven, he came back, and what? The bread basket wasn't there. So Rabbi Rachana says to the Arab, aminolei, iga gan v'yacha, are there thieves that come to this place? Amar li, hai gilgula d'rakiyahu. He said, no, do not worry. He said, this is the gilgul of d'rakiya. This is where the d'rakiya turns. Don't worry, the rakia is simply revolving, but if you come back to the same place tomorrow, your bread basket will be here. So we'll say, so what's the pshat? What does this mean? So in the Sefer Sidur Shel Shabbos, first of all, I'll just say something interesting. The Sidur Shel Shabbos brings down an incredible yisod, which is that any time that the Gemara discusses Tayo, so the Zohar brings down that Tayo is a reference to Eliyahu HaNavi. So listen to this. He says something amazing. He says, "Bavli min Yisrael Barachana, Eich sheyase kol asiyos of haartzios bikavana shemaymios." So it's so beautiful, and actually ties into what we're learning Gan Emunah as well. So Eliyahu HaNavi was saying to Rabbi Rachana, "Do you want to see? Do you want to see how the ara and the rakia, the nashki ara v'rakia, the job of the Jew is to have the earth and the heavens kiss. The job of the Jew" is to make sure that my gashmius becomes ruchnius as well. It's important that, again, I don't have two things in my life, the material and the spiritual, but rather, again, I have to try to go ahead and elevate my material as well, to the point that my material, the ara, is able to be no shake, is able to ultimately, again, kiss, is able to kiss the heavens as well. So listen to this, how beautiful this is. Good morning, Mr. Shonfeld. So what does Rabbi Rachana do? Rabbi Rachana takes his bread basket and he puts it in the window of Shamayim. As if to say, a Jew is able to take his bread basket, a Jew is able to take his lechem, and if used correctly, and if earned correctly, and if understood correctly, ultimately, again, doesn't even have to be a part of this world, but could become a part of the windows of Shemayim. An incredible yisod of how the Jew has to somehow marry his gashmius together with his ruchni. It's incredible. So the Gemara goes like that. Rabbi Yochanan Mishtai. Rabbi Yochanan used to say, Zim nechada, hava kazun lebesifin. The one time I was traveling by boat, v'chazina ukura, da'afke l'rei shemi yama. And we saw a fish that raised its head out of the sea, v'damyon eine kisisre sihiri. And its eyes looked like two moons. V'nafutz maya mitre zime kitre mavri desura. And water came out of its nostrils, mamish like the two rivers of Sura. Rav Safra used to say, Zimna chada hava kazina b'sefinta. We'll say, there's an incredible metaphor, by the way. You see a lot of these stories happen to revolve around fish and seas. We'll say, so that has to do a lot because remember, again, this ties back in very much in the Gemara Maseches Menachos, where the Gemara says, Tcheles dome liyam, yam dome l'rakia, rakia dome l'kisi ha'kavet. Tcheles resembles the sea. The sea resembles the Shamayim resembles the Kisei HaKavod, and ultimately, again, the Kisei HaKavod as Merameis takes us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The vastness of the sea, the blueness of the sea, is a constant ongoing metaphor for Ruchnius. So what they're also perceiving over here is in the vastness of the sea, and again, it could also be literally they're seeing sea creatures. Whatever they're seeing, it could be a bit of hyperbole in describing them, but the idea is they're in the seas and they're seeing these incredible creations that they don't obviously normally see on the land, and it's giving them an insight into the vastness and greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Safra said the following, Chad zimna, hava kazina besinda, v'chazina hu kura, da'afki l'reishim imyama, v'havi le'karne. So Rav Safra says, one time we're traveling by sea, we saw this sea creature, it poked its head out of the sea, and we saw that it had horns. V'chaki kalei, and engraved on the horns is Ana Beria Kalo Shaviyam Vavina Tlasmiya Parasan. It said again on the horns, I am a small creature in the sea, and this creature itself was 300 parasols. Vazilna Lapuma de Levyasan, and I saw this creature swim right into the mouth of the Levyasan. Amaravashi, Hahu Iza Diyamahu. This sea creature, this fish that you saw, it's called the sea goat. A sea goat, right? The Iza Diyama, Hu de Bechisha, the Isle Karne. ultimately, I'd not like to see dog. You know, the mam is like a different, you know, this is a new attraction in the harbor. But again, ultimately, again, the way it gets food is it takes its horns and it stirs up the seabed. Rabbi Yochanan used to say, "Zin nechad hava kazina b'sinto." One time I was traveling by boat. V'chazinon ha'hu kartalisa dahavu. So it says, and I saw that there was a chest that had in it precious stones. And it was surrounded by fish, right, that are called karsha fish. Okay? Nochis bar, I'm going to say, Nochis bar amoroi, la'asuye. So I will say, what happens? A diver went in. It's interesting. The Aramaic word for a diver is amoroi. Look at the Rashbam. Adam sheyodea lashot b'mayim. This is a person who knows how to swim. Not just knows how to swim, knows how to dive. So the diver went in to retrieve the chest. But v'ragash, what happens? The fish felt the presence of the diver. Uboy l'shamte l'amte. And the fish wanted to bite off the diver's leg. V'shada zika dechala v'nachas. The diver apparently also is carrying with him a skin of vinegar. So interestingly enough, what's the pshat with vinegar? Apparently vinegar, the scent of vinegar, which is perceptible by the fish, ultimately again drives away the fish. So he threw at them a thing of vinegar, the smell chased them away, saved his life. Nafak baskal of amra. So the baskal came out and said, "My isluchu bahadi kartalisa de divisid rab chana baidosa. What do you have to do with this chest? That is the possession of the wife of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Dasida deshaja techelta balitzdike le'amadasi. This chest is going to hold ultimately again the tcheles for the tzaddikim in the world to come." So what's the metaphor over here? Remember, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa Bosai is the meisa that we learned in the Gemara, who is Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa is very exceptionally poor. What happened? Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, remember this famous meisa, he davened, and what happens? A golden leg of a table came down, and his wife urged him to daven to let it be taken back. Because that golden leg, where did it come from? It came from his table in Olam Haba. And she urged him to say, "Don't take your schar for Olam Haba in Olam Hazan." An exceptionally righteous woman. So the metaphor over here in this story is that this is a reference to the fact that this chest represents the schar of tzaddikim in Olam Hazeh. And I will say, Olam Haba. And what's going to happen? Many are going to try to dive and retrieve this schar, this reward for themselves. But the Baskel says, "I'm sorry, that schar is not for you. That schar is reserved for the tzaddikim." So the message of the story ultimately being the incredible reward that is reserved for the tzaddikim, but again, is only could be accessed by the tzaddikim as well. Rabbi Huda Hindua told over the following idea. Zimna chada, hava kazin l'besindu. One day I was traveling by boat. V'chazina ha'hu even tava. Let's listen to this. I will say again, like I said, I can't tell you enough. There is so much more to these dramatic stories, so much deeper meaning. But again, we'll just enjoy them. So Rav Yehuda Hunda went, one time I was traveling in the boat. So I'll say, so what happens? There was a, we were once traveling by boat, and we saw a precious stone, that ultimately, again, was being guarded by a particular sea creature. So a diver went down to retrieve the stone. What happens? The diver was successful. The diver retrieved the stone. The stone is now on board, right? The stone is now on the boat. So what happens? The sea creature that was guarding the stone wanted to now swallow up the boat. Asa pishkansa. Suppose we read our pishkansa yesterday. Pishkansa is the female raven. A pishkansa came along, swooped down, paske lereshe. Chopped off the head or bit off the head of the sea creature. Asfihu maya bahavadama. So I said there was so much blood that was gushing out of the sea creature that literally the water didn't look like water, the water looked like blood. So what happens? So asatanina chavre, shakle, vitalyale, v'chaya. So let's say what happens? The other sea creature in the interim retrieved the stone. There was another sea creature, retrieved the stone from the boat, put the stone around the neck of the decapitated sea creature, and that sea creature came back to life. Asa kabai ba lesinta. We'll say first white line, ayin dalet amud beis. So ultimately, again, the first sea creature came back to life. Hagar Aset Sifra Paskel Reshe. So we'll say now the second, now what happens? The sea creature wanted again to swallow up the boat. So Asat Sifra Paskel Reshe. Ultimately, again, the bird came along and decapitated the sea creature. Shaklua Lahi Aventava. So we'll say, so what happened? So now, Shajua the Sinta. So I'll say, so what happened? After, again, now the bird came down and once again saved the boat. So the precious stone was thrown on board the boat. Havahanit Sipiri Malichi Bahadan. So let's listen to this. Remember, again, this is Rabbi Huda telling the story. We had some salted birds on board. Right? Salted birds on board. We'll say, and we had them ultimately, again, for food purposes. What happens? Osvinu Alayu. So we wanted to see the power of this stone. We placed the stone upon the salted birds, and what happens? Sazuala Shaklua Oparchele Bada. The birds came back to life and started going ahead and flying around. They both say, incredible. On the flip side, no lunch. Right? So you know, it's a trade-off. Incredible event. They both say, so again, remember, obviously, I'll just point out to you, I'll just say one thing on this. The Ben Yehoyada brings down all of these stories about the treasure, about the chest of jewels, about the precious stones. Anytime that, in general, the Ben Yehoyada, anytime you see stories, these metaphorical stories about precious stones, is always a reference to the schar of Olam Haba. And ultimately, again, the constant tension you see with the diver is trying to get it is this struggle for, on one hand, the desire. See, we'll say, what's the whole chab? What's the allure of buried treasure? What's the allure of it? Instantaneous wealth without a lot of effort. Right, so we'll say, isn't that at the end of the day the ultimate dream? I want all of the benefits. I want the treasure chest. I just want someone to give me the map. I'm happy to dive down for it. I'm happy to dig for it. I just don't want to really have to earn it. That's the metaphor in this. I see the treasure. I want the treasure. Diver, do me a favor. I'm not diving. But I have a guy who dives. Right? So I'm going to outsource. Do me a favor. Go get the treasure chest for me. Bring it back. Go get the jewel and bring it back. So we'll say, essentially, we want all of the reward, but we don't want the effort. And the point that the Gemara is making for me over here is that when I try to get the reward, but I don't want to put in the effort, it's not sustainable. I'm not going to have it. The treasure chest will remain out of reach. The jewel will remain out of reach. Tan Rabbanan. Say, let's go weiter. Baruch Atah Adonai, Eloheinu Melech Olam Shakol Nieh B'Dvaro. Third line in the wide lines. Tan Rabbanan. Ma'aseh Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua. Shayu Ba'an B'Sina. Let's listen to this. One time, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua were traveling together by boat. Vayar Rabbi Eliezer Yoshin. Rabbi Eliezer was asleep. Rabbi Yeshua was awake. So Rabbi Yeshua literally was startled, and as a result, Ninar Belazar, he woke up Rabbi Elazar. So however he was startled, his startled state woke up Rabbi Elazar. Mazi Yeshua, what's wrong, Yeshua? Why did you get all startled and you woke me up? Amar Yeshua responds, Ma'or Gadol Ra'isi Bayam. I saw a great light in the water. Amar lo, Shema Einav Shalev Yasan Ra'isa. Maybe you saw, ultimately again, maybe you saw the eyes of the Lev Yasan. Dechsev Einav Ke'af Apav Shachar. Because the eyes of the Lev Yasan, I will say, are compared to the dawning sun. Amar Abashi, so I will say, just so you should know, it's an incredible Yisrael as well. The Arizal comments on this Gemara. And he says, you know, that there are times in life, where even when we're sleeping, we see something that's nizdazea. We see something that awakens us. What is it that awakens us? Sometimes it's the eyes of the Lev Yasan. Sometimes it's the eyes of Mashiach. It's the eyes of the Geula. That's when you sometimes get a little bit of a glimpse of Mashiach, you get a little bit of a glimpse of the Geula, it's enough to wake you up, even from the deepest of slumbers. An incredible idea. Amar Ravashi, Amar Yehuna Bar Nasan, Zimna Chad Avaka Zimna Bamidbara. One time I was traveling in a desert, Vahave Amta de Bisra Bahadan Pasachna, Venakwina Vanchana Esi. We wanted to roast a piece of meat. So what did we do? We cut up the piece of meat. So they had like a whole side of an animal over here. They opened up, They opened up the thigh of the animal, and they were doing nikur, right? They were removing the giranosha. So removing the giranosha, they were removing all the forbidden fats, and then they put Vanchas Asvoy. We put herbs on the meat before we roasted to allow the herbs to go ahead and seep into the meat. Adamaisino and Sivi. So we'll say now the next part was we had to retrieve wood in order to go ahead and roast the meat. So when he came back from getting back the wood, Cholam Atma, the meat closed back up. So we'll say, interestingly enough, something happened with the herbs. The meat was cut open that caused the piece to close up again, which again didn't impact their meal plans, which is something interesting. So what happens? The Tavion, we roasted the meat. 12 months later, we came back, ultimately again, to the same place. And Chazinu Lahano Gumri Dava Kamalachshi, and we saw that the coals that we had used were still burning. When we came back before Meimar, we told him this story. Amarli Hahu Isva Samsari Hava. The herb that you used is called the Samsa herb. Apparently, the Samsa herb has the ability, what was it? It has a curative impact. What's the curative impact? That if you get a cut and you apply the Samsa herb, what does it do? It closes the wound. So when they put it on this piece of meat, what it did was it closed up the piece of meat. So I know Gumri, these coals are derisma havarabos. Like the coals ultimately again were of rosem wood. Rosem wood apparently burns for a very long time. Kiasa, it's fine. Hano Gomri Diris Mahavu. Bayivra Lakimasatanin Magdolim. So we'll say the Gemara now dashes the Pasak. The Roshom created the great sea creatures. Hachar Targimu Arziloi Diyama. So we'll say here we refer to these sea creatures as Arziloi of the sea. So if you look at the Rashbam, he says over here, Arziloi Diyama, Re'imim Shabam, also known as the Re'im of the sea. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ze leiv yasan nachish b'riach, v'leiv yasan nachish alax akalson." So Rabbi Yochanan says, "This refers to the two sea creatures." We'll say one of them is known as the leiv yasan, the straight snake, and the leiv yasan, the bent snake. Which Rabbi Yochanan refers ultimately again, the straight snake refers to the male leiv yasan, the bent snake refers to the female leiv yasan. Shnei Amar, "Payomahu yifkov Hashem becharbo akasha." Rabbi Yehuda says, whatever God created in this world, he created male and female. So the Gemara says, where do we know this from? So, af lev yasan, nachash briyav lev yasan, nachash alaksan. Zachar un nekeva baram. So to the lev yasan, the Ribbono Shel Olam created the lev yasan. One was, we'll say the Gemara refers to the lev yasan as nachash briyach, a straight snake and a bent snake. It refers to it as a snake, because Rabbi will say that's the lev yasan, as a fish, as a serpent, as a sea creature. But again, it moves like a snake would move. And what happens? V'ilmale niskakin zelazeh. And ultimately, again, if they were to mate, machriven kala olam kulo. The entire world would be destroyed. I was about to say, the world cannot sustain the Lev Yasan and its offspring. If we were to mate, again, ultimately, again, the world would be destroyed. Ma'asa kadosh baruch hu, what did the Ribbono Shel Olam do? Sires es hazachar, v'harag es hanakeva. The Ribbono Shel Olam went ahead. Moshe went ahead. Sires as a zachar means literally he castrated the zachar. The zachar, the male, is incapable of fathering children, or offspring. Vaharagis and akeva, and he killed the akeva. Umilchal tzadikim, and salted the akeva, the female lev yasan, for the Su'udas Mashiach la'asadav. So we'll say the Su'udas Mashiach la'asadav is going to be of the lev yasan. Shene emar vaharag as atonin asher bayam va'af. Behemos Bahare Elef. So we'll say so too, this other creature called the Behemos Bahare Elef. What's the chap of this Behemos Bahare? What is this? So we'll say these are land creatures that eat the vegetation of 1,000 mountains per day. In other words, they consume an incredible amount. And therefore also, Zachru Nekeva Baram, Bosham created the male and female, the Ilmali Niskakin Zalazem Achriven Eskala Olam Kulo. We'll say if they were to mate, they would destroy the entire world. Because again, I will say now, again, the Lev Yasa would destroy the entire world. How? By causing the waters to overflow. These animals would destroy the entire world by consuming all of the vegetation. Sama'a Sakadish Baruch Hu. So what did the Ribbono Shel Olam do? He says, Sirius es hazachar, v'tzinin es hanakeva. He went ahead and he castrated the male, v'tzinin, literally cooled down the female, so that she should not desire to mate. And ultimately, again, this zohar this male animal is going to be the su'uda for Mashiach. So, so far we see incredible two courses for the su'udas Mashiach. So apparently, again, we begin with the Lev Yasan, and ultimately, again, have this behema baharare ala shne'mar, hinina kochol b'masnav ze zachar v'ono b'shvire bet bitno zunikeva. Fine, so the pasuk will say first to the male and female. Hasam nami lisere lezachar ulitzane lekeva. So I say, so why don't we say again by the behemos bahare elef, so the Baruch Hu castrated the male, and he went and he cooled down the female. Why didn't he do the same thing by the Lev Yasin as well? Castrate the male and ultimately again cool down the female. Why did Kodesh Baruch Hu shech the female Lev Yasin? To which the immersive dug in pritzi, because again fish will mate with other fish, and therefore again even cooling down the female would not prevent procreation. I for the Avad Ipcha, so I say, so why not do the opposite? So what he's asking by the Lev Yasan, why didn't he just kill the male? To which the Gemara answers, because apparently, again, by fish, the female ultimately, again, tastes better. So, Nekeva Malicha Mali, Ibai Seima, Kevon Dixiv Lev Yasan Zayatar Telasachik Vo, Bahadi Nekeva Lav Orach Aras. So we'll say the Pasuk says in Tehillim that the Ribono Shel Olam created the Lev Yasan to play with it, right? To play with it. So we'll say, so had it been the female that was left over, it would be a lack of tznius. We'll say an incredible yisod that even the Ribono Shel Olam is makpid, ultimately again, on maintaining a proper tsanua conduct. Even though none of this is to be understood literally, still it doesn't read right. Hachanami limlechei l'nekeva. So we'll say, ultimately again, why not go ahead and by the behemos sadai, right by the animal, why not shech the nekeva and salt it? Kavra malicha mali. We'll say salted fish is good, but ultimately, again, salted meat is not as good. So we'll say, first I'll just point out over here, the Noam Elimelech, but I don't have time for it. There's a beautiful Noam Elimelech on the Lev Yasan, but we'll have to save it for a different time. So we'll say, when the Ribono Shel Olam wanted to create the world, Amrulu Sar Shalyam, he said to the Malach in charge of the seas, Psach Picha Ubala Kolmimu Shabalam, open your mouth and swallow up all the waters of the world. Amr Shabbat said, what the Ribono Shel Olam is trying to do is, remember, in the beginning of creation, all of the world is covered with water. The Ribono Shel Olam wants to create earth. So he says to the Malach who controls the sea, I need you to open your mouth and to swallow more of the waters. Amr Shabbat, the Ribono Shel Olam, Dai Sha'ama Bishali. I have enough problems swallowing again the waters as it is, just to keep the waters from becoming even greater. Miad Bad Bal Vahargo. The Ribono Shel Olam does not do well with disobedience. And therefore what? He killed the Malach. Shine Emar, Bikocho Raga Hayam, Usvunoso Machatz Rav. Am Rabbi Yitzchak Shemamina, Saro Shayam Rahav Shmo. This angel of the sea, his name is Rav. V'amali Mayim Mechasinos. And I will say his body lies at the bottom of the seabed. Were it not that the waters cover his body, Ein Kol Beria Yechol Olamo Berecho. The stench of his decomposing body would be so intense that the world would not be able to endure. It's only because the waters cover it that ultimately, again, the smell is mashed. Fine, I will say, don't read it as it covers the waters. Rather, it covers the saro shayam. V'amrav Yehuda, amrav, Yardin yotza mimaras pamyas. The Jordan River, its source is the cave of Pamyas. Tanya Melech Rebbeis that supports this. Yardin yotzi mimaras Pamyas umahalach biyama shal sitchi. So I'll say ultimately again, the Yardin, the Jordan River, its source is the cave of Pamyas. And mahalach biyama shal sitchi, it flows into the river of Sifchi, ubiyama shal Tiberia, and it flows into the sea of Tiberia as well. Umeskalgil viyori biyama agadol. And it continues to trickle down until it enters into the Mediterranean. And the Mediterranean continues to flow until the Mediterranean enters into the mouth of Lev Yasan. So I remember again, whenever you see discussions about Lev Yasan, that's always discussions about Moshiach. So you see what the Gemara is saying is that the water sources and their tributaries of Eretz Yisrael all lead in to the mouth of Lev Yasan, ultimately representing this idea, this incredible connection between Mashiach and Eretz Yisrael. Shnei Mar Yiftach Ki Agiach Yardin Al Piyu Maskif La Rava Bar Ula Chai b'behemos pari elef ksiv. But 1 second, that pasuk that you just quoted, that speaks about the waters flowing into the mouth of the Leviathan, really speaks about the fact that the waters flow into the mouths of the behemos pahari elef. Now, both remember again, those behemos pahari elef are those large animals that consume a lot, that also one of them was killed, and ultimately, again, saved for the Mashiach. To which the Gemara says, when do they know that their existence is insured? As long as the waters continue to flow into the mouth of Leviathan. In other words, they know they will continue to exist as long as what? As long as the Leviathan continues to exist as well. In other words, that as long as the Leviathan's existence is ensured, the Behemos Bahari Elef could exist as well. Kiyas Rav Dimi. I'm going to say we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up a Mirah Session with Kiyas Rav Dimi tomorrow. Again, we have another, it's a big daf. We have another exciting daf in Mirah Session tomorrow. We'll get started a little bit earlier to be able to accommodate it. Shkoyach.